Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, December 5th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a chilly 39 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. They are warning that by the end of the week, we could have quote-unquote significant lake effect snow. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show Tricorders, AI, Kurzweil, Dr. Smartphone, and Selling Humanity. We spent an entire week last week looking at this whole rollout of precision medicine and our smart devices and how this is about ready to turn the world of healthcare on its head, like we've been talking about for a very long time. But it is really going to happen in 2017. They have put all of the balls in place and got this in motion. And they are rolling out applications. We saw a few. One was already being able to diagnose your mental health through your voice patterns. We've talked about that a few times with Tommy Insel, the former director of National Department of Mental Health, now over at Google's Verily division to work on mental health issues, as well as Kurzweil being in charge of all the natural language processing. We had Regina Duggan over at Google, formerly of DARPA, working on wearables. We know where this is all headed. We have the rotten cherry on top named Google, plus all the other tech billionaires, big tech companies, and everybody's rolled it into a big sticky ball and gotten into the bed with the government. They were offered a seat at the table of the ruling gods of the future if they just stepped right up and gave them all of our info, gave them access. They're being able to keep us healthy. This is the way they're going to sell it now. This is the way they're going to get nanobots into everybody's blood. They're going to get you to put your eyeball up to that camera on your phone and say, diagnose me, Dr. Smartphone. We also read about the Google effect, and that was pretty damn interesting. I'd read a few studies on that before, but I didn't realize they had a wiki. We read the wiki, and the Google effect pretty much has taken this whole ability to offload our memory skills and give it to the internet. And they've been discovering that as more and more information gets on the web, the more and more dependent humans become on the internet doing their searches and their remembering for them, that humans are more likely, especially the younger generation, who didn't have to memorize things when they were in school. I mean, everyone remembers multiplication tables. You know, I mean, I memorized everything. We all did when we were growing up. That's how it was done. Now you just offload it, type a little search phrase into the little white box, and Google it. The Google effect they have discovered now has this side effect to it, and that is that humans can no longer remember things like we used to. We wonder why the human race, the American public, has a 7-second attention span. Well, today we're going to dig a little bit deeper in here. We've taken a look at how we've gotten to this point and why we're so dependent on our machines, that dopamine button. Something we've dug way into quite a number of times on the show. And I found a few interesting stories over the last few days that, again, are targeting that dopamine button. And one is specifically in the realm of brain research. I think we're going to get into the brain today. Just start looking at how this manipulation is really going to become pervasive in every area of our lives. I'm not going to get into it today, but if anyone saw over the weekend, this whole, as this Pizzagate thing has been spinning up and this fake news mantra. I mean, we did a whole week on how bullshitty this fake news mantra was. Fake news, fake news, fake news. Oh my God, Bill Clinton. We need to create an internet agency in 2011. And lo and behold, it comes out that Google's truth algorithm didn't work. Fake news is just spreading like wildfire. And now they blamed it on Hillary Clinton losing the election, Donald Trump being president-elect. We saw on Saturday night, I saw a story, I thought it was fake. Nope. Obama says that he might He might become part of new media, quote unquote, when he gets out of office, or even maybe start his own new media company to combat fake news. And then Sunday night, the story comes out, and I was certain this was fake, but no, it's not. It's just going to show you how gullible people are that we had a shooting. Actually, it was just a shoot 'em up. He didn't kill anyone or hurt anyone in a DC pizzeria with an assault rifle. Because of Pizzagate and the Hillary Clinton conspiracy theories. I mean, come on, guys. If you let them shovel that in your mouth with a spoon, then, I don't know, go knock on Obama's door and help offer to help him with his new media company. I don't know what else to tell you. But they are just turning up the propaganda on high. And you know what? The pan's starting to burn. So, time to mix it up and get a little bit of truth. All right, so here we go. So, we looked at a story on Friday that was all about artificial intelligence for healthcare. We were looking at all kinds of applications and little sensors and biosensors and all this crazy stuff that they have been now releasing commercially. 2017 is the year. I'm going to predict that that 21st Century Cures Act we've talked about many times that's still sitting waiting to be voted on in the House or the Senate. It's going to be dusted off once Republicans are running everything. Remember, after Trump was elected, kind of took a look at what the financial markets were doing to determine whether or not this train was going to be stopped, this mad science train to nowhere. And we discovered the biotech stocks were going through the roof. So that probably means a big no. Global biosensor market will reach $22,551.2 million. So I don't know what $22,000 is. Is that billions? $22,551.2 million by 2020. The global biosensor market was valued at $12,963.6 million in 2014 and is expected to grow at 9.7% from 2014 to 2020 to reach an estimated value of $22,551.2 million in 2020. Globally, the biosensor market is witnessing significant growth due to what? Oh, due to increasing demand of point-of-care testing. And we discussed a lot of that. That was Dr. Smartphone. That was putting the smarts and intelligence into your smartphone to be able to diagnose you on the spot. This isn't just video call to your doctor at 3 a.m. This is literally, we read about an app that diagnosed a guy in defib while it was happening by monitoring some of his biostatistics and then alerting him. Then he forwarded that to his doctor real time so the doctor could see his parameters, right? We talked about that as well, that how all this monitoring in the future is going to be sold to us to keep the costs of healthcare down, to be able to monitor and make sure that your body is operating within parameters, just like we can with a car, and then to be able to determine whether or not there needs to be intervention in order to keep you safe and healthy. You know, another thing that a lot of these tech companies have been involved in, and we have discussed this as well, is this longevity medicine. Peter Thiel, I was trying to remember his name on Friday. Peter Thiel is all into this parabiosis, this young blood into old animals and vice versa. And they have shown that it really does cause rapid de-aging. They become young again. And the young mice that get the old blood become old again. They've been doing experiments with this back even since some of the dark, dark hallways of the Middle Ages. And I think that's just the first step. You know, Kurzweil has talked a lot. Kurzweil, who is the director of engineering at Google, he's been given now a magic wand to go around with his mad science mind and an unlimited budget. Ray Kurzweil has been talking about the nanobots for years and how it's going to connect to our brainstem and be able to upload ourselves to the machine, be able to connect us real time to the internet, augment our brains, our memories, with Google's search engine, right? I mean, that's what's going to happen. You're going to be able to just think a search. Boop. You'll be able to have cloud drives to store our stuff, too, from our memories. We'll be able to have little nanobots attached to our emblongata. I don't know. Don't ask me about brain parts. We're going to get into some brain stuff today, though. I got lots of stories lined up that are pretty damn frightening. They'll be able to record every minute of your life. You know, we heard about that at a TEDx lecture. Augmentation of humans. They want to be able to record everything. Your personal digital assistant in your head. I got to sneeze. Oh, and it didn't have... There it is. All right. Anyways, let's finish reading this. In North America, as well as I'm going to add in Japan, there is a growing aging population, increasing health awareness, rising chronic and lifestyle diseases, as well as technological developments for various home use applications and appropriate insurance coverage to drive the use of the biosensor devices in this market. Now, can that we just read that paragraph? Doesn't it sound like they are making a glossy for investors? Because yes, all of these things, the growing aging population, well, that happened because since the 70s, they were telling my generation, don't have kids. This is a world where women go to work. Use your birth control. Because, you know, we can now. And let's not have children. Let's be very, what's the word I'm looking for? Egocentric. Think about ourselves. But as we're getting older, we spend our entire lives now working in a career like we were taught to do in the 70s. You know, people in my generation had some pretty decent salaries, especially if you went into technology. You know, and those are the people that are ripe to be stepping right up for this. The ones with no children, who are lonely, who are now looking at their empire they built, and they said, oh shit, I don't have anyone to leave it to. I'm going to leave it to my cats. I was in that boat, guys. I was there. I had a come to Jesus moment right around that time. That was about 38 years old. I had that conversation with myself. But now as they're getting older, but there were a lot of people who didn't. So now as they're getting older, now they're finding themselves near 50-ish, no kids, 5-plus cats, a house, a car, a vacation spot, and lots of single friends with cats. Now they're looking at they're getting older. The friends are starting to kick off. So yes, increasing health awareness. Start eating your super greens and running on your digital treadmill with your Apple Watch that connects wirelessly to your doctor. Rising chronic and lifestyle diseases. Well, we've already read a few studies that have 100% connected glyphosate to that cytochrome P450 enzyme. Let me look that up real quick because I'm going to tell you, glyphosate, a.k.a. Roundup, that is on all of our food. And remember, GMO labeling is pretty much done. They've been putting this stuff into our food for a very long time. It's in our water. It's in breast milk. It's in rain. Let me do CYP450 and glyphosate. We're going to read this because this study, that's out of Nature. This one in particular happens to be published in Entropy, but this is around all over the place. Glyphosate suppression of the cytochrome P450 enzymes, and those are catalysts that help a lot of functionality in your body, as well as your ability to metabolize medications. You know, if you have a problem, if you have a suppression of your cytochrome P450 enzyme, i.e., if you ate lots and lots and lots of food loaded with glyphosate over your lifetime, you probably have a suppressed cytochrome P450 enzyme. And then they put you on SSRIs. There's been a lot of evidence. We had Dr. Lucier here a couple times on UCY over the years Truth or Talk and Madison Rupert both interviewed her. I think Madison interviewed her twice, actually. And she'd worked in the prison system in Australia. 50-year psychiatrist. And had started getting DNA swabs from people who had never had any violent acts in their past, who'd ended up in prison after crimes of passion or whatever, and they'd all been taking these SSRIs, and she found that they all had the suppression of the cytochrome P450 enzyme. And when they were taking SSRIs for depression, prescribed by their doctors, mind you, that they weren't metabolizing them properly, and potentially was what was leading to the violent acts. Well, now we find out that a good part of the American public probably all has the cytochrome P450 enzyme suppression that not only causes problems with metabolizing drugs, but also is the root of all disease, pretty much, that is happening right now. These Western-esque diseases that they are blaming on us being couch potatoes, us being sucked into the machine, our Western behaviors. But listen to this. It's because it affects the gut microbiome. And we found out from Dr. Oh my goodness, I can't remember his name. We've talked about him so many, many times. Cupidal. For anyone in chat, who was the doctor that was the plant and animal pathologist, 50 years, worked as Professor Metrius? Oh, talked all about the bees and the manganese. Dr. Huber, that's who it is. Dr. Huber has connected how this, his big area of study for his entire career, just about, well, for at least the latter part of his career, was what was happening to the animals and the crops. They were being exposed to glyphosate, and he was finding that it was killing all of the beneficial bacteria. And it was causing stillbirth abortions in the animals that were eating the genetically modified alfalfa crops or corn or whatever it was that was spliced and diced to be able to get sprayed with glyphosate and not get killed. He was finding that it was affecting the offspring and being passed through the placenta to the offspring. And so when we look at these falling birth rates and these diseases that we all seem to have now in our Western society, aging population, because what? Oh, they're not reproducing. There's a bunch of reasons for that. It's all been sold to us as a Bernesian ball of wax with a big hair in it. I had a dream right before I woke up, by the way, as a side note. I don't know, I was having really vivid dreams last night, and I usually just go black when I'm exhausted. But right before I woke up, I remember taking a bite of something, and it was the very first bite, and I looked as I'm pulling the food out away from my face, and I see this big, long, twisty, half-matted hair coming out of whatever I was eating, and that's how I opened my eyes. I was like, bleh. It was gross. Anyway, so the title of this study, Glyphosate Suppression of the Cytochrome P450 Enzyme and Amino Acid Biosynthesis by the Gut Microbiome, Our Pathways to Modern Diseases. Glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, is the most popular herbicide used worldwide. The industry asserts that it is minimally toxic to humans, but here we argue otherwise. Residuals are found in the main foods of the Western diet, comprised primarily of sugar, corn, soy, and wheat, and glyphosate's inhibition of the cytochrome P450 enzyme is an overlooked component of its toxicity to mammals. The CYP enzymes play a crucial role in biology, one of which is to detoxify xenobiotics. Thus, glyphosate enhances the damaging effects of foodborne chemical residuals and environmental toxins. The negative impact on the body is insidious and manifests slowly over time as what? Oh, inflammation, the root of all disease. Remember, they're going to work on some of these living therapeutics. They're going to be creating synthetic bacteria to fix all this. Problem, reaction, solution. But keep eating your glyphosate-laden vegetables. Anyway, it manifests slowly over time as inflammation damages the cellular systems throughout the body. And here, in this study, we show how interference with the CYP enzyme synergistically with disruption of the biosynthesis of the aromatic amino acids by gut bacteria, as well as impairments in the serum sulfate transport. Consequences are most of the diseases and conditions associated with a Western diet, ding, da, 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 ding, which includes gastrointestinal disorders, obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression, autism, infertility, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. All the things that are ripe new markets to invest in with Dr. Smartphone and precision medicine. What are the chances? Monsanto's glyphosate is what causes the Western gamut of diseases that now they're going to cure with Dr. Smartphone. Yeah, nanobodies in your blood. I mean, guys, this is just so dirty that I can't even tell you how in your face this is. People just don't get it. My parents finally got the whole hell no GMO thing. I mean, they actually signed a few petitions. I was really surprised back a few years ago with the March Against Monsanto. But sad fact of the matter is, I think if people realized exactly what the mechanisms were and how they were interfering with us and now how they're spinning this narrative, you know, they're trying to get this technocratic control system that they can rule over us. We've talked about this. This is the whole gist of Before the First Cup. Is this coming system that's pulling this bag closed, and I hate to tell you, I think the bag is already closed, with this web that's been interlaying across the globe, soon to be the atmosphere, little 5G microsatellites all over to be able to get cell phones to Africa, our favorite love-to-hate petri dish for trying all this mad science. Yeah, that's going to be it. We read about an executive order last week that is going to be advancing the global health security agenda to achieve a world safe and secure from infectious disease threats. Yeah, that's about getting you on your cell phone in Zambia. I mean, all right, so let's continue from here. I don't want to get too off the mark. So this is going to be the money market through the next 10 to 20 years, and it is happening faster than we ever imagined, right? How many stories have we read? This is technology creating technology, artificial intelligence becoming smarter, AI teaching itself. Watson oncology doctor. You know, all these AI big boys, and we're talking the Google, the Microsoft, the Amazon, the Facebook, the Twitter, the GE with their mind mapping, and many, many others. The advent of the self-driving cars. We're going to have all the car companies, the Toshibas, the robot builders, as well as Beidou in China. We have all of these different companies that now have started this race to the top, or I would call it the race to the bottom. They think it's the race to the top. He who garners the most information and the most total control over the human species wins. Add to this, then, CRISPRing humans. First human was CRISPRed in China. I don't know, we'll get to that this week. And how they are now automating a lot of this CRISPRing. We read something the other day, and I don't have that story up here. I'll have to find it in the notes. But it was about how they are now automating with smart factories the creation of synthetic life. They are now putting them on little conveyor belts, chink, 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 creating life on the fly just to see what they can make it do. They are utilizing bacteria, splicing and dicing it, and then getting it to produce different things such as biofuels or medications. And at some point in the future, we talked about those living therapeutics to be able to go live in your gut and create on the fly when they start to detect inflammation, newfangled drugs inside of you to tamp down on that inflammation. And those are living little machines that they are able to create. It is a crossover between technology, programming, and biology. And now they want to get them inside of us. And, you know, back just a few years ago when we were talking about this, I had asked many times, like, who on their right mind would step right up for this? And we had postulated that one of the ways that I could see was them dangling that carrot and offering to cure the big C. Well, guess what? The day that first story came out talking about legions of nanobots being able to maybe cure cancer, I almost literally fell off my chair. Because, you know, that was the one big thing. What's the one big thing that people would step up for? Of course, the other one is longevity, being able to live forever. That's where they're going to get all of the rich guys. That's why they're investing. That's why venture capital is off the hook. And I keep saying, you know, not that you want to invest in the destruction of human 1.0 race, but I bet there's going to be bazillions of dollars to be made. In North America, the growing aging population, increasing health awareness, rising chronic and lifestyle diseases, ding, like we'd read about the glyphosate and the cytochrome P450 enzyme, makes a lot of sense, as well as the technological developments for various home use applications, and that is going to be Dr. Smartphone and your appropriate insurance coverage, right? $30 to $40 for an online visit with your doctor. It'll keep your costs down, Johnny. And the biosensor device market, and that is growing exponentially. In Europe, biosensor device market is driven by rising diagnostic requirements due to an increasing lifestyle-associated diseases, aging population, and improving healthcare infrastructure. It's pretty much the same thing in Europe. On the other hand, increasing healthcare costs. Oh, here you go, guys. I knew it. Has shifted the focus of healthcare from hospitals to the home, which would increase the use of biosensor devices in the region. Ha ha ha. It's what we said. And you know, once it moves, they're going to get us used to our smartphone, smart devices to do a pinprick blood test or a mental health screening by your voice patterns. But tomorrow, it's going to be woven right into your clothing, wearables, that Intel Atom processor, the Project Jacquard, that was Levi's and DARPA. They've been creating sensors and antennas that are like weavable so and very flexible, so they can now literally put them into clothing. They will be ubiquitous. And with this 5G millimeter wave network of microsatellites that they have been working over the last few years to launch, it is going to be fully ubiquitous connectivity no matter where you are. And like I said, even on the African savanna, you will be connected doing your HIV and Ebola screening on the fly. All right, this is where we left off on Friday. Stanford researchers, artificial intelligence is ripe for healthcare. Instead of envisioning AI outpacing humanity as we know it, don't be afraid, Jenny. Remember, we have this new brain treatment where we've been able to erase fear memories. And they've been able to do that a few different ways. I think the one we read about the other day was using zippity zaps to make memories go away, but they can also use these flashes of light, all kinds of different things. Instead of envisioning AI outpacing humanity as we know it, researchers spot prime opportunities. Ding, ding, it's all about making money on you for clinical decision support, patient monitoring, surgery, and more. I just saw that there is a new surgical eyeball robot. That's pretty frightening. I would never let one of those laser robots get near my eyeballs. I'm sure as hell not going to let one that cuts eyeballs get near me. When it comes to artificial intelligence, forget all those scary movies, Johnny, about the rebellious robots or the dire warnings of a dystopian world of disconnected humanity imagined by some popular writers. AI promises, rather, to change our lives. Yes, it is the fake promise. They are saying, come eat the dangling carrot, the poison apple. You will gain knowledge. You know, I really think we talked the other day about ethics and global ancient texts and the problem of translation and how things were passed down throughout human history and how things are changing with this whole fake news mantra and moving our entire library of Alexandria to the web, kind of circumventing printed and written text. So in the future, it will be a world like 1984 where they can just change history, bloop, or they can delete history from the interwebs. And once AI is running the show, we talked about the fact that the head of the search engine at Google stepped down last year and the head of AI took over. So it's very possible they got that truth algorithm that they are running, as well as that verify on their Google News feed. It's coming, people. And now, like I said, with this Pizzagate and Obama jumping in both feet and saying he's getting into new media to combat fake news, guys, it's going to be an information war. Hillary Clinton calling it out in 2011, saying that we are losing the information war. Well, I think that they have made that their battle cry. We had Keith Alexander invest huge into the NSA cyber patrols. And that wired document that we spent 2 days covering, and it was a really scary article about the back door of the NSA and all the things that were involved that Keith Alexander created and how he brought all those cyber patrols under his umbrella, internal and external, now part of NSA 21. So they are the ones. Cyber war is just as important as the real war, and it's not just against foreign actors. You and I are considered enemy now. If we are not walking in step to the prepared NDAA 2013 authorized, legalized propaganda on the American public. So the only way we're going to be able to do that is to be able to modify you, Johnny. To be able to monitor you, Johnny, 24/7. It's going to start out with simple things like blood pressure or oxygen level. Put your thumbprint here. We already have that on an Apple iPhone. I don't know if they could do biometrics on it, but they can at least use it for login. What's it going to take? We were reading that all these new attachments, I don't know if they plug into the little, probably it's a little port on the side, maybe the charging port, little attachments that allow you to do different types of biosensing on your smart device. And like I said, in the future, it's all going to be miniaturized, eventually put into our clothing. Beyond that, it'll be miniaturized even more and put in these little microsatellites. Once they can make it all long-range scanning, they'll be able to do it from the sky. You will just be another node on the internet of everything, as will every cell in your body. And I know it sounds fantastical. Like, what was that movie from when we were kids, The Fantastic Journey, where they got shrunken into the little ship that went through the inside of the body, through the blood vessels? But it's not crazy, people. This is the plan. I see it clearer than day. And every single day that goes by that I cover this, I mean, I have to say by this point, I could probably be diagnosed as quite a bit obsessive over it, 400 and some odd shows on the same topic. Do you have to realize that this is where I spent my entire adult lifetime in employment, was helping build all the infrastructure that has led us to the point where we are at now. So for my soul, for the future of my children, grandchildren, and the future of the human race, I am here obsessing over explaining to you in ad nauseum detail not only what happened and why it happened, but what is going to happen. And we need to stop this train. And if we can't stop it, then we need to do everything in our power to make sure that we do not become a part of this control infrastructure. Stanford is taking the long view of AI with a project called the 100 Study on Artificial Intelligence, more affectionately known as AI 100. The study, written by a panel of AI experts from multiple fields, including healthcare, will continue as an ongoing activity with periodic reports examining how AI will touch different aspects of daily life and body parts. The first of these reports, called AI and Life in 2030, looks into the effects that AI advancements will have on a typical North American city a little more than a decade from now. First off, contrary to the more fantastical predictions for an AI in popular culture, the study of the panel found little cause for concern. And like I said on Friday, of course they did. Don't worry about it, Johnny. Shh. Go back to sleep. We'll tell you when it's important to worry. And by that time, it'll be too late. But instead, increasingly useful applications of AI with potentially profound positive impacts on our society and our economy. Remember, Obama talked about in his precision medicine initiative about how this was going to be as big as the Genome Project was for the growth of the 20th century. Precision medicine is going to be for the 21st. We have been sold to big pharma guys. We've been sold as the R&D line item budget. It is no longer an ethical conundrum to experiment on humans. You know what? That pesky FDA has been standing in the way of all this medical innovation. It costs way too much money to get a drug or a device all tested for that pesky FDA. So we now are going to propose that we'll go direct to consumer, just like all the tech companies used to do. We'll find someone to do a case study, someone who is desperate that we can prey upon, and we can offer them the poison apple. We can offer them the dangling carrot, the promise that they might live longer in their most desperate moments. And if things go well, it didn't cost us anything. And if things go well, we can write a case study. Lots of glossy big pictures on the cover. And have that patient whose life we saved, who will be our best spokesperson, be our puppet that we can roll out anytime we want to sell this to another unsuspecting. And that pesky FDA is now completely out of the picture. Those ethical conundrums that we had just in January of 2016 still are now gone. And this is going to be the promise of 21st century cures. This is going to be Star Trek medicine here today. Step right up. They're going to come in droves. All you got to do is get that little swab. Send it in to 23andMe. Find out if you're related to royalty. And put it in the National Institute of Health database, as well as your electronic medical health records. We'll let Watson run an algorithm. Tell you whether or not you are predisposed to genetic diseases. And maybe even in the future, we could develop a customized CRISPR gene editing therapy just for you. And as more and more of you step up for this All of Us program, this program to be able to participate socially as a group in healthcare to be help us crack all the secrets of what it means to be human. But it'll help all of you as well, because we might have some mad science cures for you as you get mad sciencely cured. You become another node on our network. And by 2030, we are predicting that we should have most of the population on board. Like I said, they're going to make this a requirement to even receive health care, I'm predicting, in the future. If you don't have some sort of attachment on your phone, you don't have some sort of like electronic little tattoo thing like Regina Duggan talked about, or swallow some smart pill or smart medication, you're not getting health care, Johnny. I hate to tell you, you're going to be with the heathens, with the old school doctors who don't believe in this. There's going to be a division. The haves and the have-nots, the 21st century cures, and those who want to be able to use natural methods of curing themselves, but don't worry about it because the FDA had already been looking at natural cures, talking about how a lot of it is quackery. You know, they were testing ingredients in bottles going, oh, this isn't that or this isn't that. Well, don't worry about it, people, because they're going to ban being able to purchase natural remedies. I already saw, there was a friend of mine in California that I was looking for something for. I don't, honestly, I don't even remember what it was. It was a while ago. But as I was going through and I hit the order, put it in my cart, I got this long list of natural cures. That, you know, it was a vitamin, mineral, herbal site that I was on. But I mean, it's a super long list of stuff. Majority of the things on this website that could no longer be shipped to California. And I don't know if it was some anticipation of a law that they were expecting to be passed that banned natural cures, or if it already was something on the books. But it was pretty frightening because they had already been talking about being able to do that, protecting us from ourselves, because they know better. They know better. Big Pharma knows better than turmeric and the Chinese. You know, just put on a seatbelt, people, because this is all coming. Anyway, so back to this. Clinical settings. The report says the use of electronic health records has not progressed as smoothly as they had hoped, and a limited number of vendors control the full electronic health record market. And user interfaces are widely considered substandard, so this is going to be all the reason, all the rage, to fix this health record thing that no one wanted to get on board with in the first place. This promising of new analytics using the data that they've collected from the electronic medical health records, including AI, remains largely unrealized due to these and other regulatory structural barriers. And yeah, we talked about that pesky HIPAA. Obama called for getting rid of that. You know, especially if it's going to be in the name of curing you or diagnosing some lunatic who might have their hands on an assault weapon because they're talking erratically over their cell phone. Yep, yep, yep. Put on a seatbelt. I'm telling you, it's coming. In the next 15 years, AI advances, if coupled with sufficient data and well-targeted systems, promises to change the cognitive tasks assigned to human clinicians. This opportunity to exploit new learning methods to create structured patterns of inference by mining the scientific literature automatically and to create true cognitive assistance. This is Robot IA Dr. Smartphone. By supporting freeform dialogue has never been greater. AI's ability to mine outcomes from millions of patients' clinical records promises to enable finer-grained and more personalized diagnosis and treatment. We read last week about how they want to take symptoms of all the things that you've been diagnosed with and try to collate them across the database and find someone with something similar and look at treatments that were tried. Is being able to give them a leg up on what works and what doesn't work. You know, Watson has been outdoing complete boardrooms of oncologists. These 20 hospitals that he's been working, I keep calling him he, it's been working at. And this is going to be across the board here shortly. Barriers to this, of course, remain, however. They include the slow pace of, yes, that FDA's approval. Ding, 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 ding. Remember, the FDA has become the thing standing in the way. They are setting this up to pass that 21st Century Cures Act. Trust me on that one. They include the slow pace of the FDA's approval of innovative diagnostic software and what? Oh, HIPAA requirements. Ding, 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 ding. For protecting patient privacy. That creates legal barriers to the flow of patient data, to giving it up to the machine, to applications that could utilize AI technologies. Now, HIPAA protects your privacy. HIPAA does not allow them to go into your records and read what you've been telling your doctor. HIPAA allows them to not go in and target you as a potential threat because of something that's in your health records. They want to get rid of all that. They're going to convince this newest generation and all these people that don't understand what is happening that giving up your privacy in healthcare is for the good of us all. But once they've done that, people, they own us completely. They own everything. By combining social and healthcare data, like I said, they're going to make it into a big social network with this All of Us program, formerly known as the Cohort Program with the National Institute of Health. Some apps can perform data mining, learning, and prediction from captured data, though their predictions are relatively rudimentary right now. But give it up, the convergence of data and functionality across applications will likely spur new and even obvious products, such as an exercise app that not only proposes a schedule for exercise, but also suggests the time to do it, and in turn provides a coach to stick to that schedule. And you know, we even read a while back about an app that's going to not only look at your exercise and look at how long and look at your heart rate and look at what you ate, but it's going to tell you when it's time to sleep for optimal performance. I mean, talk about giving it all up to the machine. Talk about the Google effect and what it's done to our memory. Let's just now assign our entire lives and what it's time for us to do and when to the machine. Talk about useless eaters of the future. Oh my God. You know, and then when we consider this whole conundrum of robots of the future taking all of our jobs, and that is coming as well, disruptive technologies to the nth degree, where they're just going to give us universal basic income to sit around and eat grapes fed to us by robots. You're going to find out that the only use that we're really going to have is as a pincushion guinea pig nanobot host to see what's going to happen before they try it out. And those who can really pay for it. Those who are really gunning to live forever. It is not for you and me. We are just the version 1.0s. This can also, this AI innovation can be used on elder care, smart devices in the home. And of course, we have elderly population here in the United States. We also have an ever-increasing elderly population in Japan, where they have this big boom in robots. Smart devices in the home will help with daily living activities when needed, such as cooking. And if robot manipulation capabilities improve sufficiently, as well as dressing elderly and toileting. Remember, too, not only helping you go to the toilet, but we read about the smart toilets that'll be able to do your morning diagnostics. In-home health monitoring and health information access will be able to detect changes in mood or behavior and then alert caregivers or the black baggers to come give you your drugs. Personalized rehabilitation, ding, and in-home therapies where we won't have to be under the eye of regulatory agencies is what I'm thinking. We'll reduce the need for hospital or care facilities. And this report concludes that significant AI-related advances have already had an impact on North American cities over the past 15 years, and even more substantial developments are expected in the next 15, provided that they are judiciously managed, by an AI who can judge really well. Recent advances are largely due to the growth and analysis of large data sets enabled by the internet, ding, as well as advances in sensory technologies, ding, and more recently, applications of deep learning, ding, ding. And in the coming years, as the public encounters new AI applications in domains such as transportation, i.e. self-driving cars, and healthcare, i.e. Dr. Smartphone, they must be introduced in ways that build trust And this is another thing we've been talking about, guys, is building trust with our future robot overlords. They are finding ways to make robots show love, and they have already found ways utilizing micro expressions and 230-point facial recognition to determine what we're thinking, to determine how we're feeling, and to be able to react to us in like kind. They are also finding ways to read minds with fMRI. And I would posit that at some point in the future, they may even be able to do something like that remotely. So in February of this year, WhiteHouse.gov, Obama administration announces key actions to accelerate precision medicine initiative. Yes, they accelerated things in February. Doctors have always recognized, and that was the call, all stops out, start investing your money. Doctors have always recognized that every patient is unique, and doctors have always tried to tailor their treatments as best they can to individuals. You can match blood transfusion to a blood type, and that was an important discovery. But what if matching a cancer cure to our genetic code was just as easy or just as standard? And what if figuring out the right dose of medicine was as simple as taking your temperature? A year ago, February of 2015, Obama announced the launch of the Precision Medicine Initiative to accelerate a new era of medicine that delivers the right treatment at the right time to the right person, taking into account individuals' health history, genes, sting, environments, and lifestyles. Precision medicine is already transforming the way diseases like cancer and mental health conditions, ding, ding, are treated. Molecular testing, we've talked about that, molecular scanners on the fly for cancer patients let physicians and patients select treatments that improve chances of survival and reduce adverse side effects. Genetics and other information can help identify the best depression drug for each patient and speed effective treatments. A critical advancement is patients often do not respond to the first drug therapy they are prescribed, but more is needed. There are far too many diseases for which there are no good treatments, and prevention approaches are not yet tailored to individual lifestyles, genes, environment, and preferences. So that is our future, guys. They are going to prescribe to us prevention approaches tailored to our individual lifestyles, genes, environments, and preferences. And if we don't stick to those, no Cheetos for you, Johnny. There are going to be consequences. Maybe zippity-zap. Wipe that brain clean. All right, so I'll put that in the notes. This goes on and on and on. But this precision medicine initiative was accelerated. Well, don't worry about it, because our favorite guinea pigs, and that would be the soldiers in our military, have now been fully integrated into the machine, the VA. Because, you know, we have people on death lists on the VA, so don't worry about it, Johnny. Johnny Joe, we have now employed artificial intelligence at the VA, as well as precision medicine for veterans. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs signs a 5-year deal with San Francisco-based Flow Health to apply AI in making care plans personalized. And this was dated November 29th, 2016. So this is less than a week ago. The Department of Veterans Affairs will work with Flow Health to build a medical knowledge graph to inform decision-making and train artificial intelligence to personalize healthcare plans. The objective of the 5-year partnership, Flow Health executive said in a statement, is to understand the common elements that makes certain people susceptible to particular diseases, to pinpoint effective treatments, and identify possible side effects in order to inform care decisions. VA and HealthFlow's work will entail integrating large volumes of data in the quest to discover relationships between what? Genomes and phenotypes. And the goal is to learn what every gene variant means, to identify disease risks, and to make more precise diagnoses, as well as suggest individualized treatments, guys. So the military, again, is going to become the biggest guinea pig of all. They're probably going to have to give you your nanobots as part of your induction into the military services or to receive your VA healthcare. This is going to be very frightening, people. This is the first big step. The VA healthcare system is the prototype for Obamacare, and this is the first step of rolling this stuff out. Flow Health is building a knowledge graph of medicine and genomics comprising of more than 30 petabytes. Petabytes, guys, of longitudinal clinical data drawn from VA records on 22 million veterans spanning more than 20 years. Because I don't think they have HIPAA protections. They own you. And all of this patient information will be de-identified, right? Your privacy is of utmost concern during analysis to protect your privacy. Flow Health Chief Medical Officer Robert Rowley, MD, added that the deep learning models require large data sets and developing AI, which can automatically identify the best diagnostics and treatment pathways, will now assist clinicians in delivering precision medicine to every single veteran. Guys, step right up because it is coming. Nobody's going to argue with this. Don't fall for it, people. It is a trick. They are going to trap you. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Monday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is live up next. All kinds of great radio Monday night for all the things that you missed this weekend. And live, anti-media, live and brand new, Truth on the Tracks at 10 p.m. Eastern tonight. All right, guys, have an awesome Monday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow.